following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
It's the Stone Cold and Jackal Show.
Really? That's what you came up with for our intro?
Well, here we are in Phoenix. We're on tour.
This is amazing, right?
I know. This is weird. So we talk about going on the road all the time.
Yes, we do.
We are in a Marriott property.
Yes, we are.
We are in a hotel room in Phoenix, Arizona.
Correct.
On day three of our July tour.
Yes.
We are 3 days in, right?
That would be day three.
Did I say that already? Oh, shoot.
Have another.
Cheers to you guys.
The jackal is crushing some red berries.
I crush the grapes themselves in my mouth.
Yes, you do.
We started in Nashville on Monday.
Correct, yeah.
And now we did Tuesday in
San Antonio.
San Antonio. This is the first time we've ever taken flights to all of our locations.
Yeah, it was usually we do the East Coast, and we kind of maybe have a little home base for 3 or 4 days.
Right.
And we'll drive and come back to home base. But this one, because we don't do the West a lot, we get a lot of...
I know. Well, we get enamored with...
Enamored's a nice word.
Well, because we like... So we play places that we're familiar with.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And so when we go to a place and have a great experience, we go back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we get other requests that might not be so.
Right. Well, come play.
Nice.
Well, come play my grandmother's backyard in Watusee.
No, we're not going to do that.
Is Watusee a place or to dance?
Don't ask me if it's a dance.
I don't think Watusee is a place. I think it's... Whoa, Watusee.
And he's doing the peace sign over his eyes.
Well, that's the Watusee, I think. I think that's the Watusee.
Don't ask our friend here either, because he doesn't
know. So we're joined here by our friend Jeremy, who people might know as the transporter.
Correct.
Or people might know as the guy in the middle on the flight picture.
Sleeping on the flight.
So say hi, Jeremy.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah. So that's Jeremy. So you can stop talking now.
That's messed up, dude.
Come on, bro. And that was Jeremy. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Jeremy.
We posted a couple pictures of us on flights the last couple days because we were on flights the last couple days. And I was the one taking the picture, and yeah, I pretended to be asleep in the one that I took.
I know, isn't that funny how you do a selfie when
I know it's
you're
like,
asleep, but you're not?
I know, it's all
so lame.
God,
social media. Honestly, it's so lame.
I know, it's, yeah.
Here we are sleeping on the flight.
Yeah, but so Jeremy was...
But I'm not.
Jeremy was the handsome, muscular fellow in between me and Steve.
He's super bald. Muscular.
He's
bald, and he looks like the transporter.
He does. Yes. Now, how many... Has it... I feel like I've heard stories where you have been mistaken for the transporter. Is that mistaken for Jason Statham? Is that actually accurate?
Yes, actually, I was actually in a men's.
You don't have to use a podcast voice, dude. What was that? actually, I was at a men's. Can you just talk normal, dude?
Yes.
You don't have to be weird, bro. Just talk normal.
The weirdest time, I was actually in a Walmart.
Yeah.
And I was actually
with Steve or by yourself?
No, I was actually by myself.
Travel some places without Steve.
Occasionally I do. I try not to.
Right.
But occasionally I do, because that's dad. Nope. No son leaves without his father.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Daddy. It's weird how Steve makes us call him daddy when we're traveling, isn't it?
Well, you know, that's daddy right
Well,
there.
Whoever pays the bills is called daddy.
That's right.
Don't forget that, Jackal.
I never do.
So you're in a Walmart.
So I'm in a Walmart, regular Walmart, and I was actually at the...
As opposed to a
super Walmart.
Super Walmart?
Well, you know.
Hey, in the South, we distinguish between the two.
Grades of Walmart.
You have a Walmart, or you have a super Walmart, and there's a difference.
Yeah. I was in a regular one.
Right?
So, anyways, I was at the urinal, and...
What?
I was at the urinal.
The guy looked over and said, Jason Statham?
Okay.
Well, okay, hold on. Okay. You know the rules in a urinal, right? So if you go up to a urinal as a male,
right,
you got rules. You either look forward... Straight ahead,
right.
Look up, but you never look to
side
your left
to side.
Or never. It's a rule.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
So
true. That is. I don't know if the ladies listening know that. because
well, how many ladies that are listening have peed in a urinal?
Probably not a lot.
Right. Well, there are sometimes though when the ladies' line is super long, I encourage ladies to go in the men's room.
Sure.
Right? Because I mean, I wouldn't want to stand in the line that long if I had to go. And so if the men's room is
free, just go outside.
That's right. There is something so nice about peeing outside. Maybe because I grew up in the woods.
We all did.
Yeah,
pretty much.
All right, so you got...
Yes, so I'm at the urinal doing, you know, I'm keeping all the
what
rules.
What were you doing here?
Well, I'm keeping, first of all, I keep all the rules.
Things. Following the rules is what I'm doing.
Following the urinal rules.
Following the urinal rules.
Right?
Yeah.
And this guy actually leans, he was next to me, and actually leans over.
The partition?
Yes. So he completely...
violated every man law ever.
Yeah, and comes over... and literally says, "Are you Jason Statham?"
Oh my God!
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even get the transport in that one. I got straight up Jason Statham.
And what'd you say?
Well, I had to establish.
Yeah.
Pitch myself,
right? For sure. For
and
sure.
And I looked at him, and I said yes. As a matter of fact,
that's amazing.
Did he know that Jason Statham is British?
I don't think he cared. Because first of all,
no, I don't think he knew
he did,
either.
He wouldn't have looked over the partition.
This is in Tennessee?
Yes.
Okay. So I think we need to establish how you and Steve know each other.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Just to give a little background on why we take Jeremy everywhere we go.
Yes.
And I think the listeners over time will understand why we do.
Sure. A lot of them probably know Jeremy.
That's right.
Already.
I do have some fans.
Just that's true.
There. Calm down.
Sorry.
Calm down,
sorry,
Jeremy.
Dad. Sorry,
calm,
Dad.
Calm down,
Dad.
Jeremy.
Sorry, Dad.
So Jeremy and I met on The Last Castle.
That's right.
The movie, The Last Castle, and I'll
which shot in Tennessee.
In Tennessee, correct. That's how I found Tennessee and fell in love with Tennessee.
Tennessee.
And Jeremy and I met on the set, and I'll let him start the story because it's interesting, and then we'll get into the second stage of the story.
Okay. Yes, at some point earlier on in my life, I was interested in acting. I actually had an agent, and they were filming The Last Castle in Tennessee, and I told her, I said, look, if you can get me on the show or the movie,
right,
I will be a rock. I just wanted to be on it.
Right.
So, anyways, she happened to be the friends with the casting director, and she said, good news. You're on the movie. And
whoa.
You're going to be an extra.
But what were you expecting?
Lines?
Oh.
Yeah, because that's how it works.
What do you mean?
Hey, random person, I'm going to be an actor. Get me in a movie with Robert Redford and give me lines, please.
Yeah, please.
Awesome. That's what I was hoping for. So I ended up coming on as an extra. I was a prisoner. And I actually got promoted to a stand-in.
Nice.
The stand-in for Brian Goodman.
Oh, okay, cool.
Who was played Beaupre on the movie.
So I don't think people know, and I think this is interesting to talk about for a second, is
sure.
There's kind of a hierarchy on set.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So there's the background people,
right,
who they call extras.
Right.
Who, if you're on a movie, what they do is they have a certain area for the extras that are kind of, you know, contained
right
in a certain area, and like, you're an extra, you don't talk to the cast,
sure,
you don't talk to the director, you don't talk to anybody, you just come over here and you do what the first AD says or the second AD,
right,
follow directions, that's your job,
sure,
right? Because I was an extra on a few things when I first started, and that's what you do,
right?
Then you have the stand-in who either is promoted like Jeremy was or cast as someone who looks similar height-wise, because they stand in for the actor when the DP is lighting the scene that you're about to do.
Because they need someone that is of similar stature and similar, so that the lighting people can light appropriately.
Correct.
And the camera people can get the right focus and
right
whatnot.
Focus without using the actor, because the actor's
off preparing.
In the trailer.
Or drinking.
Preparing nothing.
Right, right.
Right, so they use a stand-in.
Playing video games or whatever.
Correct.
Whatever the case may be.
Like the Jackal.
Right.
So the extras don't make a ton of money. What would you make a day on that show?
At that time, I was making 50 a day.
Hey. 50 a day is an extra. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Great.
You're on a big Hollywood movie. big budget. It's
pretty
great.
Cool.
You want to be an actor? Guess what? You're getting paid to learn.
And that's a good that's an incredible experience.
Incredible. I always tell people, hey, go be an extra. Just see how it works. See how the set works. See how, you know,
learn
how
the
people
learn
interact.
Learn the terminology.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's terminology that if you don't know, like I remember when the first times I did, the first single camera stuff I did was before a lot of the stuff went digital. Mm. So I remember at the end of every take, they'd be like, check the gate.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah.
And you know, it's just stuff like that where you're like, oh gosh, I feel like I should know what that means, so I'm going to pretend that I know what it means.
Yeah.
And then that's the times you can get kind of insecure.
Oh, there's a hair in the gate. Right. I've heard that many times. Oh, there's a piece of dust in the gate.
Well, and that's what
again.
It meant is like in the end of the lens,
there's a piece of glass, I think, between the film and the lens or something.
Yeah.
That they have to make sure is clean and perfect and dusted with the air can.
Right.
So it's perfect and they
see
exactly.
So if there was anything trapped in that, it's like if you're taking pictures with your camera and you got like a fingerprint on your lens or like a piece of dust and it's going to mess up your picture.
Sure.
It's the same thing. Anyway, so stuff like that. Yeah.
So anyway, it's great to learn the hierarchy. So Jeremy was an extra making $50.
Right.
And then the next step up is a stand-in.
Right.
Right. So either your cast is that or you were promoted like Jeremy was.
Yes. So at the time I actually was promoted as a stand-in.
What'd you have to do to be promoted?
Well, actually,
do anything
if you really want to know, there's actually, so there was a scene we were doing, and as an extra, you're also used to hearing back to one.
Right.
Which is
right.
basically a fancy way of saying, go back to where you started.
Right. we're starting again, go back to where you started.
And
back
start,
to one.
And start walking until you hear cut.
Right.
Correct.
So I actually happened to be in the back of the prison, which is where the movie was filmed, and I was heading towards a fight that was actually being seen. And happened to get closer to the assistant, I think he was like the first or second assistant, it was Mark.
Director, yeah.
And he just happened to say, hey, you know, how are you having a good time? How are you enjoying? And I was like, oh, this is great. So we did the scene a few more times. On that show, on that movie, the extras all were put in a gymnasium. There was 500 of us.
Oh, wow.
All and everybody, anytime they'd see like a director come up, you knew they probably needed like 10 or 20 people.
So everyone
people.
Like sat totally.
Well, right. everybody yeah. wanted screen time.
Yeah, for sure.
So you didn't like if you were up there in the gymnasium, you were up as close as you could because you wanted to stand out in some way. So if a second AD or a you know and a director came up, you'd get picked.
Totally.
Well, it just so happened that I had just chatted with Mark. He was like the first or second AD.
Second
AD. Yep. And so we had just had, you know, a little bit of FaceTime and he came up the stairs and I happened to be towards the front and he was like, Jeremy, come with me.
Wow.
So he actually, and I was like, what's going on? Of course, everybody hates you.
Right.
Because why is this guy getting picked out of all of us?
Because what
us?
People don't know is with extras, in the own extra world, because I want to do a reality show.
Oh, yeah?
On called The Background.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there's a hierarchy within extras.
Copyrighted by Steve Burton.
Right? There's a hierarchy. Like, you're the new guy. This person's been an extra for 10 years. You're going to learn the system his way, and he's the veteran, and you're going to do that, right?
Right.
So of course, people get upset. It's like, hey, you're picked. You're out of the pool.
Right.
Let's go. So,
well, it was a military prison. So there was, military prisoners. And
thank
they
you,
all,
Jeremy.
Well, thank you. And I just wanted to clarify that. And they all had distinguishable features. A lot of them had tattoos or scars or something. And here was me.
And you were just bald.
Well,
no,
actually,
he was not
hair.
Bald.
Actually, I had a great head of hair. Thank you, though.
thank you. We'll post a picture, actually,
yes,
on the
yes,
blog.
Yes, I do. Yeah,
this
I have
dude
a picture
had
of it.
A mane.
I did. He's
beautiful.
And so I didn't have any distinguishable features.
Yes, you did.
I didn't have any scars.
You were jacked.
I was a little muscular. Yes, I was.
A little muscular.
But I didn't have anything that made me look more prisonerish. I kind of had.
Yes, you were completely jacked.
Yes, but I was kind of a pretty boy jacked kind of look.
Yeah.
I guess I can say that. I don't
know.
Sure. You know,
self-titled pretty boy, I think.
Yeah, absolutely self-titled. Absolutely. So anyways, that's where I didn't look as unique as some of the other people we had on set.
Sure.
You were prettier than everybody, is what you were saying.
Pretty much.
Self-proclaimed.
He was good looking.
So
good looking and muscular.
Yeah. Mark brought me down the set. Rod Lurie was the director at the time.
Yeah.
He was actually quite popular. He had just done a movie.
Yeah. The Contender.
The Contender. And he brought me on set, and he said, hey, guys, this is Jeremy, and he's actually going to be Beaupré's stand-in. And I was, what?
What?
It was, so I went from $50 a day to $100 a day.
That's a 100% raise.
Yes, it is. And here's the great thing. Now,
I can do
now you are no longer corralled like cattle in the gymnasium.
You can go to the craft services table, can't you?
Yes.
You know my story.
Dude, that's how we met.
Yeah, so you can go to craft services now. Oh, and guess what?
What?
Your checks got mailed every day. So I used to not check the mail for like 5 days because I'd have $500 piled up in the mail.
Sweet.
Because they would just stack your checks in the mail because they would get sent every day. So
that's a big deal.
It was huge.
Yeah.
And then also, if you became a stand-in, that pretty much guaranteed that you'd stay on for the remainder of the movie.
Sure, yeah. Right.
So my possible of maybe a few weeks turned into the entire shoot.
Which was a couple months?
Almost four months.
Yeah.
It was four months.
Yeah,
wow.
Almost 4 months, yeah. So we became friends.
Yeah. Oh,
On the movie.
Right.
And to make a really long story short.
It's a good story.
No, it's a good story.
It's great.
It's a good story. So we met there. I met actually a lot of people on that movie, but Jeremy and I became really good friends, and he was like, oh, you know, I think I want to be an actor, and I said, all right, man, come on out. You know, come to L.A. He said he knows someone who's moving out there, and he's going to come out, and I'm like, cool. But he was super jacked. Like
I was. you can add that in there.
We can add that in there.
Maybe you'll just put
like,
that
dude,
in.
I mean, he was like, you know, walking around
shoulders to his ears.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I'm like, I said, dude, if you want to act, honestly, you're probably going to have to lose some weight.
Right.
You're going to have to lose some muscle. Because Barry Newman, who was an old school actor, he was in a show called Petrocelli, which you don't know.
Yeah.
But he was a very famous actor. He's a guy who lived in my building when I came out to California. My dad managed apartment buildings.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he lived there. And he was an old school actor from New York, really great guy. And he was like, hey, you always want to be the lead. You don't want to be the guy who looks like he's protecting the lead, right? So insight, I told Jeremy, I go, dude, you probably shouldn't be lifting so many weights and just, you know, just calm down a little bit and come out and see what happens.
That's
right.
Funny. Yeah.
And this story's crazy of like his journey from leaving Tennessee to then going back to Tennessee.
Sure.
And you have to hear the story because so many people want to be actors.
Yes.
Right. And I always try to help or, you know, mentor or give advice to people because when we go on the road, people say, oh, my son or daughter wants to be an actor.
Yeah, people always ask
all
us, like,
time,
what,
right?
What should we do? What is the what is the way to be an actor?
And this story is what you shouldn't do because, you know.
A cautionary tale.
It is a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let Jeremy just start from the beginning.
Yo, absolutely, yes.
Of what happened. You made the decision to come out.
And I think I'm going to need more wine for this.
Okay, great.
It's down by your right foot.
Okay, great.
Steve knows his right from his left.
Thank you.
That's how I knew how to say that.
And Bradford loves wine.
It's true. Well, we finished a show tonight, and so we're just kind of hanging out in our hotel room. And,
which is amazing.
Which is amazing. And so I need wine.
Of course you do.
Don't judge me. Don't judge me.
We're not judging you.
All right, Jeremy, tell us what not to say.
So, okay. So my move to California started out with basically my Jeep at the time, or actually we had a friend of ours was going. So there was two guys that were moving to California. Two guys I actually had met on the last Castle set.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I will not say names. And so basically my move, they were going to go out there first. So basically a trailer or a U-Haul backed up to my apartment. And I basically just threw my mattress. You need one.
That's the only thing you packed was a mattress?
Well, I had other things too, but they had like this perfect spot for my mattress. So I remember carrying it down, throwing it in the back of this U-Haul.
Wow.
And anything else that they were gonna, you know, that I would need there.
Right.
So hold on, 1 second. I have to interrupt this.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. So this is a big deal for someone to go, hey, I lived in Tennessee my whole life.
Right.
And I'm going to Hollywood.
Going to Hollywood.
So in your head, you're like, I'm going to Hollywood, and these other cats, we're going to Hollywood.
Yes.
So you put the mattress in.
Yeah, so I carried the mattress down because I was super jacked, so I did it all by myself. I threw it in the back of the trailer, literally, because like I said, I'm super jacked. So I put it in the back of the trailer, and they leave. So they're going to get there ahead of me. We had already had an apartment picked out, which I didn't understand the difference between living in an apartment in Tennessee as opposed to living in an apartment in California.
Right. It's like living in the Taj Mahal versus living in a shack.
Yes. So, yes.
Your dollar goes a lot further in Tennessee than it does.
They told me, all right, we're going to get out there ahead of you. We'll put your stuff. It's a three-bedroom apartment, two-bath that we're going to move you into. And, you know, we'll have your bed set up and stuff when you get there. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I end up leaving. I hit the road. I've got a Jeep at the time. And I get almost all the way out there. I get into L.A., and all of a sudden, I hear this horrible sound in my engine. I mean, it's like, well, it was, and some smoke started coming. And next thing I know, my Jeep just dies.
Are you serious? Like,
it was Chinatown or Koreatown?
It was in Chinatown.
Yeah.
And in so, LA.
He finally makes it.
I'm there. I make it. I pass through like that weird customer. They check if you have corn or something. You don't know. Yeah, there's a weird, like...
Oh, yeah, they checked you for corn.
What? Vegetables?
They checked your corn?
I don't know. They just check you.
You know how they do the...
when you cross state lines.
Because they don't want you to bring, like, any pests
or something.
Like
fruit flies or something. Yeah.
So I've been... And I remember there was a part in... And, of course, I'm in awe because I've never been to California. You know, I'm looking at everything. I come in. My Jeep just literally explodes right on the highway. And I die right under the freeway. And thank goodness it was right in a spot where there happened to be a camera. Well, and also I'm blocking up...
Like a traffic camera.
Yes, a traffic camera. I'm blocking up so much traffic at this time.
Oh, man.
So they immediately send like a tow truck.
Sure.
Like a highway assistant vehicle. And they tow me to Chinatown. Now, remember, I just got there.
Right.
And
why did they take you to Chinatown?
Well, because
he's kind of right off the freeway.
And
right
they have there. Amazing mechanics.
Yeah.
And sure. So they take my Jeep in there, and from the very, like, welcome to California,
right.
You owe us $700. That was my welcome to California. It was the first day. Thank you. Here's your Jeep back. $700, please.
Oh, man.
So, of course, I pay. Now I don't have any money because, like I said, the living in Tennessee is so different.
Yeah.
Financially.
Yeah, $700 doesn't go
so
too far.
So I will say this. If you come to California and you want to be an actor, this is the one thing I tell people. You got to have like 5 to 10 G's in the bank saved.
I didn't have that.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
At least.
Or
have family to stay with.
Correct.
I was lucky. I had family to stay with in San Dimas, where Bill and Ted were from. And I was very lucky. So thank you, Anne, cousin Anne, who's like an aunt to
because
me.
It's not a bit. I mean, he came here.
Yeah.
With barely any money, and he was broke the first day.
Man.
Yeah, so broke the first day.
Mm-hmm.
Three-bedroom apartment was like $1,600 a month.
Right.
Split three ways.
28, how many years ago?
This was right before September 11th. So, which I actually heard about the World Trade Centers on our alarm clock radio.
Oh, yeah.
Because we didn't have really any furniture.
Yeah.
So the two guys got there ahead of me, and of course, what do you think they did?
Took
the best room. So I end up in the closet. That was the smallest room ever.
Yeah.
So it wasn't actually a closet. It was the
It was
the third bedroom.
It was the size of a closet. It was the size
with
of a closet.
Not its own bathroom.
Right.
You know, it was like, hey, buddy, get in the back.
Man, dude.
Yes.
But you had to pay a fair share of the rent.
Three ways. We split it three ways.
Oh, yeah, that's not fair.
That's not fair.
But no. I was in California. I didn't care.
Okay.
Sure.
I was there.
Yeah.
So I made it, right? I'm broke now.
You made it, dude. You made it.
I know.
Hey, that's more than most people do. You made it out. You tried.
I know, absolutely.
Listen, most people don't try. And that's what I always tell people is you gotta try. You gotta follow that dream. You did it. At least you can say, hey, I came out and I did it.
Right. Don't be defined by the choices you don't make.
Correct. He was like, hey, I came out. I went through a little bit of some hell, then I went home, and it's all good now. But at least I tried it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I did, yes. So I get out there, I get moved in, and Steve at the time had given me his, I guess you had like a business number that you used, or whatever you told me it was.
Service? Was it your service?
It was 100%.
It was his service number.
For anyone that doesn't know, in the... Before cell phones, actors had what they called a service number, which was basically just a messaging service. So when you had business contacts call, sure. But it was like a third party service to receive messages.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it was a basically offline voicemail.
Right.
Hey, you reached Steve.
Right.
Leave a message, I'll get right back to you. And that's the number I gave him. Right. I didn't give him my personal number. I gave him that number.
No,
right.
Put it this way. He doesn't answer. Okay? It's a number that he gives you that he doesn't answer.
Right, because it doesn't ring anywhere. Yeah.
But I'm in California now, and, you know, I'd say, hey, man, I'm coming out. And he's like, okay, if you do, here's my number. And so I, of course, left the voicemail.
Yeah.
Because at the time... That's what you do, you know?
Sure.
You get this voicemail.
At the time.
You leave a voicemail. So I leave a voicemail. Hey, man, it's Jeremy. I met you on The Last Castle. Actually in California, and I was actually in Woodland Hills.
Okay.
And ironically, it was actually not too far from you at
Correct,
the time.
Correct, at the time.
Yeah. At the time. And I didn't know if he was going to call me back. It was cool. I was there. And he ended up actually calling me back.
Nice job, Steve.
He did. Well, he was actually, and if I just give him a compliment real quick.
Dude, give him a compliment. You know what? Steve never hears anything kind or like celebratory about him. No one ever says anything nice to Steve.
Well, and that's why I'm going to do that.
In fact, we spent a whole night with a bunch of GH fans. And they didn't say anything nice about him. It was all Bradford, you're so great, and Bradford, you're so handsome. Steve, yeah.
Bradford likes to get beat up.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Well, on the set, the other actors referred to him as an extremely nice guy. He was the nicest guy on the set. And that's honest. And I don't know if I've ever told you that before.
Thank you,
but you did have the reputation among... Well, because remember, I was in craft service now, so I actually got to have breakfast with James Gandolfini. I actually had some pancakes with him.
That's nice.
And he actually would... order ice cream for the whole
sushi.
Gosh,
sushi,
man,
yeah.
He was amazing.
Yeah, sushi in Tennessee is great.
Yeah, it's called catfish.
It was called delicious. And so everybody that had spoke about Steve in the whole cast and crew, he was the nicest guy on the set, like literally. So, and that was part of the reason that I had started to talk to him outside of craft services, because I had heard how nice he was.
Yeah.
So he called me back, and I was like, hey, I'm living in this apartment. It's in Woodland Hills. And somehow we got on the subject of tennis. And he was like, oh, I play tennis. And at that time, I had played quite a bit of tennis. I felt like, you know, I was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, look, we got a tennis court here. And he was like, I'll come out and play some tennis.
Yeah, dude.
I was like, okay, cool. Let's play some tennis, man. Thinking he would, of course, not ever come. And you did. You showed up.
Yeah.
And
Steve never says no to a competitive
course.
Competition. No. A competitive competition.
Yeah.
Steve is
that redundant?
Steve is wildly competitive. We go to...
Yes.
So
we
had a little competition today, too.
I was like, I've got some adding to that, too, as far as this, new competition.
Go ahead.
So long story short, Steve decided he was going to, you know, maybe this muscular, jacked, handsome guy with a great head of hair is actually a cool dude and safe and,
you know, safe.
Well, I wasn't going to like kill you or something. Like, I wanted
awesome.
You to be my friend.
That's awesome.
So, you know, and I'm in California, I'm all alone. I have two random roommates that I just met on the movie. Right? So I'm nervous. And so he comes out and we played, that was our show. We played tennis. We used my tennis court in the apartment. First of all, Steve never loses.
I'm aware.
Wait a sec. At anything.
Oh, I know.
Ever.
I know.
Video games, you're never winning.
Ping pong.
Ping pong, you're dead. You're just dead at ping pong.
Dead.
Anything. Oi. No.
Pop a shot.
Oiled up wrestling.
You're dead.
Dead.
Choked out at least.
Yeah, it's true.
Super
sure.
Slippery.
I wrestle you, Bradford.
I watched you guys wrestle in the pool today, and Steve won, I think.
Yes, he won. He wins, literally. Let's make this be known. He wins it every
Not everything, dude. Stop.
Okay, when you don't win in your rematch, you win.
Okay, go.
Okay, thank you. So, Steve continuously beat me at tennis.
Yeah.
And, you know, we kind of developed a little bit of friendship, which I felt on court, you know, and so it was so funny. I'll never forget. And So there's one day, and we had Philly tennis for a few, you know, a few times over the course of a few weeks. And I remember I had my two roommates, they were there, they're actually upstairs. And I was like, hey, dude, like, I was like, oh, great game, man. You won again. And
what an idiot. Of course.
And so I was like, hey, do you want to like come up? Because I've got like ramen noodle.
Right.
And there's a chance I have a Dr. Pepper to offer you. Like, do you want to come up?
My roommate. Do you want to come up?
Well, not that way. It's like, hey, like, we're bros now. Like, hey, do you want to, and I'll never forget Steve's exact word, and he said it with totally just like this. No. with no hesitation,
right.
No trying to be nice, right. Just straight up.
No.
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 But.
I'm honest.
He was like, but maybe we'll play some tennis again.
Right.
Later.
Yeah.
Don't ever ask me to come up
I
again.
Really enjoyed beating you. I would like to beat you again.
Yes. And yes. So we played tennis a few more times, and I'll never forget, right? So now I don't have any money, and yes, as a matter of fact, I am living off ramen noodle, Dr. Peppers, because at that time in California, it was actually cheaper to buy a can of soda than it was to buy a bottle of water. So yeah, what I used
still
to do,
is.
Yes, so what I used to do is I would keep as much like sodas. Of course, it wasn't like real Dr. Pepper; it was like Dr. Fizz,
yeah,
because that was 25 cents a can. So I'd keep my refrigerator loaded with Dr. Pepper. Every flavor of ramen noodles, and then occasionally I'd have...
You put the ramen noodles in the fridge?
No, I had a cabinet of ramen noodles.
Yeah, he did.
Of a fridge full of soda, because I couldn't afford water, and I had a Brita pitcher, and I think you bought it for me.
Yeah.
But anyways.
All right, so we're going to fast forward the
story.
No, it's good. I like it. But if you kept telling the story, we could literally go on for 2 hours.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's just a lot, too.
Because there's a lot of history, right?
Absolutely.
So he's there. The whole roommate situation did not work.
Okay.
Because there was one guy there who was a complete slob and just a sluggard. And it was just the worst
sluggard
situation that you could ever have.
Yeah.
Like a guy who chews tobacco and spits it everywhere and doesn't clean it up.
Come on.
Oh, it was the worst thing ever. Writing freaking rubber checks for pizza delivery.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like a movie, right? So I'm like, Jeremy, you got to get out of there. We became friends. Started kind of hanging out the house and stuff. And I'm like, dude, you got to get out of there.
Right.
So we found him a studio apartment that he could live in by himself.
Yes. But I just want to say how I finally made it to your house. Can I at least tell that story?
Yeah,
because it's actually really funny. And that was where I was going with the ramen noodles and the soda. So I hadn't had like a steak or like a piece of chicken or anything in quite some time.
Right.
Now, remember, I'm jacked.
Like a good meal.
You
couldn't afford a good meal.
No, I couldn't at all. And that's being honest. So he randomly called. At that time, we actually had we didn't have the cell phone service. We actually had an apartment phone.
A landline,
yes. And Steve called.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, man, listen. He goes, my wife's actually cooking some steaks. Do you actually want to come out to the house and have a steak? And I was like.
Dude, that was the happiest phone call you ever got.
Well, it's the phone call that made history.
Did you cry a little bit?
There was a little tear.
Yeah,
yes, but so I first of all, I was like,
Yeah, hey,
I would love to.
Yeah.
So I went out there, and then his wife fixed an amazing meal, and that was how
we became friends, and I said, dude, you got to get out of there. He got out of there. We moved into we found a studio apartment for him. And then the problem is he didn't have a ton of money.
Right.
So, you know, I try to help him out, but he's got to get a job now.
Right.
Right. Like reality setting in, like I got to pay rent. I got to pay my I got to pay utilities. I got to pay this. And this is the thing that people run into when they come out to LA and want to be an actor or an actress. They don't think about all these things like, hey, I got to do this. I got to pay my bills.
Yeah.
Right? So this guy went to work at Best Buy.
Awesome.
Loss prevention. And because he was the transporter.
Right.
And he was working like literally like 70 hours a week.
So, overtime. In fact, they actually, the Best Buy that I worked for, it was actually on Victory Boulevard.
Yeah.
The corporate like payroll guy called that Best Buy and said, who is this Jeremy guy? And this is a true story. And why does he have like 100 hours a week? And he shut it off. Like, oh, literally. Yeah. Man. And your overtime is no more.
You're done.
I was completely cut off from overtime because I basically lived at the Best Buy.
So he and I became friends. He started coming on appearances with me. Right. So this is how the whole thing happened with appearances.
Yeah.
We started, I lived in LA. He ended up moving back to Tennessee after a couple years.
Right.
But we started to go on appearances together after that.
Yeah.
And traveling all over the place.
Right.
And back in the day, they'd be like, hey, will you come to, you know, Sears or Kmart or JCPenney? And we'll give you 2 first class tickets and this and that. And so Jeremy would fly from Tennessee coach
to LA
to get on a first class to get a first class ticket to fly to New York.
That's amazing.
Well, at the time, awesome? You could actually walk around in the terminals, you know, the different areas, because it wasn't as secure then.
Yeah.
And so I'd roll in 5 hours from Nashville, and I'd walk the terminal and meet him.
Yeah.
And then we'd fly, like, first class back
to New York.
Wherever we were going. Yeah.
And, you know, it was when first class were, like, the beds.
Right.
So we were just like, okay, this is the best right now.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. So he started doing appearances, and we've done them for so long. And then, obviously, when we started Port Chuck, you know, you always want to have someone who can help, who can be, you know, fan-friendly and customer service and make sure everything goes smoothly.
Well, and know how things work.
And there's nobody better than him.
There's
completely nobody better. I mean,
anybody that has ever been to one of our Steve or Port Chuck or now Stone Cold the Jackal,
whatever, right?
They know that Jeremy is the best at basically customer service, picture taking, and just having answers to every question.
Yeah,
do you know?
So that leads us to the our interview part of the show. To Jeremy. So now we're going to interview you. Okay, so because people always ask who you are and what you do and all this stuff, you're obviously a nurse, male nurse, Gaylord Focker.
From Meet the Parents.
Gaylord Focker. We have Gay Focker here from Meet the Parents, but he's an ER nurse, which is,
I mean,
it's amazing.
Anyway, I got to say, so when I, you know, we leave our families a lot.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we travel a lot, and they're, you know. So my wife, whenever Jeremy is with us, she feels so much better about me traveling.
Yes.
Because he is an ER nurse. If anything terrible happens.
Correct.
How lucky are we to have a guy that could know what
save
to do.
Save your life.
To do it himself.
Right.
Or to know what to do.
Right.
So
it's always great to have him. He's awesome. Great friend. And he just, you know. We couldn't do this without him.
No.
And I wouldn't want to.
No.
But, so Jeremy.
Hey.
It's funny because with these appearances, we're always backstage, right?
Yeah.
And he's out there.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of time where the audience is in the venue.
Yeah.
Steve and I haven't come out yet, but Jeremy is running his own show.
He's out there doing his thing, and we hear it. We can hear people out there and stuff, and we're like, oh, there's people out there.
Yeah.
And so it's a whole nother world to us that he's out there, you know, talking to people who are waiting to see us or love the show, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So what are what's the number one or two or three question that people ask you every time?
I would say first, I'll start with you. For you, it's more or less, first of all, they're, oh, I'm going to see Steve. Ah.
All right. Jason!
And the next thing is, you travel with them? Okay, so you actually came with them. Yes. And then it's, what is Steve like? What is he like? What is he like? Please tell us what he's like. And it's really actually for both of you. It's the same thing. What's Bradford like? It's really, they want to know, are you guys anything like your characters. Yeah. Which is a lot of the questions you guys get in the show too, but that's the main ones I hear is,
right,
what are they like? How is it traveling with them? And
you say, they're dicks.
Every time.
Yeah. Just
that Steve
jerks.
Guy. Whoa,
just jerks.
And that Brad, his ego. That Bradford Every guy's time. Ego is the size of freaking the Empire State Building.
No. I mean, do you guys want to know what I say?
Yes.
Is that part
sure.
of this?
Yeah, it can be.
Okay. Well, I'll start with
well,
you.
Well,
I'll start
here.
With Steve. So normally
it's rehearsed. I didn't know that.
It's not at all. It's just it's an honest answer. It's not. It's just the answer I know. So so with Steve, I always say, first of all, he does have a personality.
Thank you.
100% personality. So and if any so anybody that does the watch the show, you can actually the way to put it is you can tell how good of an actor Steve is. But hear me out. No, I know. But no, listen.
Okay.
Because he honestly does not play himself on the show.
Oh, I
does,
see.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
He's acting so well as Jason
right.
that he fools everybody to assume
right.
that is him in real life.
Right.
Thank you, Jim.
Which, in reality, it is 100% opposite.
It totally is.
Because if people, and you know, thank goodness, you know, He's so I basically say, look, you're gonna laugh. He's so funny.
Yeah.
But
looks aren't everything. Oh,
that was him.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming. Bradford will be here all night.
Yeah, well, it's my room, bitch.
It's basically a get ready for a surprise.
That's true.
Because Steve is so funny.
Well, it's called down, dude.
But it's true. Because
we're not talking about Will Ferrell here.
No, but you do make people laugh.
Yeah, we have fun.
And
yeah.
and I say, you know, and he is probably you're I always tell them also that you're the most generous person and I would say if I had to sum you up in one word it would be the most generous person. Did I say a few more than
that was like
the most
words.
Generous
thank
person
you.
That I have ever met.
Thank
you. One word.
Thank you.
Generous.
Okay.
Thank you. Bradford agrees.
Yeah, okay. I do agree.
No, I'm kidding.
I've said that before.
Literally.
I know, dude. I don't care.
So generous. I
don't care what you think.
Thank you.
And then with Bradford, it's the same thing. I say, well, what's Bradford like? And what I always tell him, I say, well, here's the great thing about Bradford is
this is amazing.
This is my favorite.
We're just patting ourselves on the back, and Jeremy's just like,
you guys wanted me to be honest, and I'm being honest.
Okay, we appreciate honesty.
So with Bradford, I always say, look, what's so you do an amazing job as the character that you play.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is that the brain that your character has, right?
Right.
I tell everybody is you have that brain, okay, for lack of better words, as far as your intelligence.
Sure. I just don't show it.
but you do.
Oh, you do.
I mean, but you do. The funny thing is, yes, you are this hacker, unique guy in the show, and that's super smart. That,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Could disable a bomb or, you know, the stuff that you do on the show. But in real life, I tell everybody, you're just as smart. And I'm going to give you an example.
I can't think of one.
Well, okay, that's what I'm for. I've never met anybody that I mean, come on, like you haven't lived in New York in how long? And we can randomly show up, and you know every street.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can get us through the subway. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Is it's like you are as just like you know. You can. It's the brain is there. That's what I'm trying to say. Is
it is it is funny when we travel together. The three of us have a complementary expertise in terms of how to support each other when we travel.
Well, it it just works.
Yeah.
Right. Seamlessly.
Yeah.
Whatever we do on the road works.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I know, you know, obviously we've been friends for a long time, Bradford, and. You're always thinking one step ahead. I'm thinking one step ahead, and Jeremy's thinking one step ahead.
I know, it is crazy.
So it's kind of weird, right? Because it's like we're always thinking a step ahead, so there's really no complications. There's nothing to worry about.
There's nothing. There's rarely anything unforeseen.
Things are taken care of,
yeah.
and it works like works great.
It sure does.
And it's a lot of fun to do it this way.
Well, and that's the thing. It's,
you know,
it's,
yeah. But you laugh at the New York thing and the subway thing, but for any outsider,
well, it's funny because
it's,
know,
so overwhelming, dude.
I know that. It,
and I've
right.
been to New York, and I've told you this, I've been to New York 25,000 times.
And still.
And I still don't see it as you do. I mean,
right.
I could figure it out,
yeah.
But it's like you lived it. You know, you're like, no, just go here, go here. When we took the trains and did all that stuff, I'm like, yeah. What the freak is this guy doing?
We well,
took
he'd
the-
be like, it's a red train.
Yeah.
And, like, and it would be. It would, or the yellow M5, whatever yeah. that is. Or you'd be like, we've got to go down 5 stairs.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's how many stairs.
Go 5 stairs, take a left, and you're going to wait at the green sign and wait for the M4.
And it would okay. all be there. And it would be perfect.
I know.
Well, it's funny because, like, you know, when you live there and go to school like I did there, like everyone can do that. So like it doesn't seem special to me, but if people that haven't lived in New York, it can be. It's like to live in New York, you need to have a set knowledge of things and how things work there.
Yeah,
and it becomes second nature to you. But for someone that's never lived there and comes to visit, you see all these things and it can be overwhelming, but so it's funny to hear you say that, but thank you.
Well, I don't know if I've ever told you that before.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
And that, and when you guys had said something, I'm like, that's the first thing that came to my mind is your ability to navigate. I mean, that's it's so impressive. And I and we can be like, Bradford, when's our flight on Sunday?
Yeah,
like
totally.
2:05 p.m. Damn, and we board at 1:20.
Yeah,
it's just like you are Spinelli's brain as far yeah. as
it's good to have be detail oriented.
100%. Yeah, and well, we all are.
Do you know what's funny? I was talking to my wife today because, like, in my house, my wife is that person.
But, really?
But with you guys, I'm that person.
Well, it's interesting because I'm not that person with my wife at all. She
right.
does all that stuff.
Right.
Everything. You right. know, like.
But on the road.
I'm very detailed on
well,
the road.
Well, when we would travel with poor Chuck, Steve, you know, Steve and Scott would be the guys
yeah,
that would.
I mean, he did load-ins and coordinate with the staging and the clubs and stuff. But I was the flights. I was the hotel.
Yeah.
I was the, you know, all that stuff. So it's great. It works great.
Yeah.
You know. And
here we are.
We're going to keep doing this
in downtown Phoenix.
We had a good show tonight, though.
It was awesome, man. We played this venue, the Stand Up Live in Phoenix with Pork Chuck last spring.
May, I think they said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's spring, right? April.
Yes,
showers,
technically. It's spring.
It's spring.
Bradford.
Thanks, buddy.
You like a black eye tonight? Let me know.
Well,
it gives a bunch of face.
And so we were here, and it was a great, God, it's such a great venue. And
yeah, it is.
And we had a great time. And it's funny, I came here in March with one of the GH Fantasy events.
Oh, yeah.
And I said to a lot of people, like, hey, I think, you know, Steve and I are going to come out here with the Stone Cold and Jackal show, so... And there was a lot of people tonight that said, hey, I saw you at GH Fantasy, and, like, here I am. And, you know, so it was fun to... Because, you know, the group events that we do, it's wonderful to have all those people answering lots of questions and talking,
sure.
and telling stories. And,
yeah.
You know, but what you and I try to do is, you know, we try to complement the venue that we're playing, which is a comedy club, and we try to put on a show.
We do. We
you
try
know?
To put
and
on a show.
And people that are used to watching Port Chuck... You know, we try to take elements of that, performative elements of that, but try to do something that feels like a show.
And so. And I think every, you know, because we're both obviously actors, and I think, you know, we understand what the fans want with just the fact that they want to, you know, they love the show. They
well, yeah.
grew up with the show. And the biggest, the thing that I love about it is, like, tonight there was, like, oh, I'm fourth generation GH
yeah.
fan, right? And I just love... Dude,
how
there's
many?
There's nothing that makes honestly. There's
yeah.
nothing that makes me happier than when 3 or 4 generations show up together.
It's awesome,
and they all get to. We all get to take a picture, and it's like, okay, here's the granddaughter, and then here's the daughter, here's the grandma. Here's the great. Okay, and this is awesome because that's what it's about, right?
What I would say there's, I think, 3 mother son.
Oh yeah, tonight. Yeah,
pairings
yeah.
tonight.
Yeah.
You know, so mothers bring in their son and
yeah.
like how awesome, you know, how many things like late night
there's
things going
things.
Out to a club or whatever,
yeah, but there's
where
not
you can,
a lot of things
where you are going to take your mom
no,
and you guys are going to have a shared experience like that.
Yeah,
like
there's nothing.
It's so cool.
Because when I'm taking pictures and there's a girl there with a mom and a daughter who's probably 15, like McKenna's age, my daughter McKenna, and she's so happy. The mom, I see the mom smiling.
Yeah.
And see the daughter's like happy. And right. It's just like, and I would feel the same way for McKenna.
Yeah.
If it was one of her, you know, shows that she loved.
Yeah, or like absolutely.
We're watching Stranger Things now.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So she loves it. She's like, oh, can we meet the Stranger Things cast? And,
right.
And yeah. I know if she took a picture with those guys, she'd be so happy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, that's what's so cool about what we do.
Yeah.
And why I love to go on the road.
Yeah.
And why we love to put on a show. Right. Because right? I'm not proclaiming at all to be a stand-up comedian.
Neither am I.
So
we are the first ones to say.
We are not.
We are not. We try awfully hard to be entertaining.
Yes, correct. And yes. And the great thing is every show we try to tweak things to make it better for the audience.
Right.
Right?
And we try to learn from what works and what doesn't.
Yeah. And just and we wanna put on a different show every time, a new show every time we go to a city. So
yeah.
That's the coolest part.
Yeah.
And that's why I love doing this.
It is. There is, when we're in a room full of people that share the, you know, our experience of General Hospital is obviously different from the people that watch it.
Right.
But there is, General Hospital is a big part of our lives.
Huge.
And it is also a big part of their lives.
Huge part.
And that shared experience, that common.
You don't get that anywhere else.
No, man.
You know what I mean? Unless you're a sports fan.
Right.
Right? You could be from where, you could be from the hood, you could be from the burbs, but if you're a fan, or you're a Patriots fan, or you're a Ohio State fan.
Tom Brady and Julian Edelman don't do a two-man show in comedy clubs around the world.
No, they don't, but if they did, guess who would show up?
Right.
A lot of people.
A lot of people, yeah.
But that commonality of the sport brings all types of people together, and that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
It's like you're getting all these people in the room who've never met each other. But we all have something in common.
You know, it's funny. On this tour, there's a couple of people that wrote to us either on Facebook, on our Stone Cold and the Jackal Facebook page, or through Twitter, saying, hey, I don't have anybody to go with, just saying, hey, I was going to come, but I can't get anybody to go with me. And what I always say to those people is, even if you come by yourself, you're going to leave with new friends.
100%.
Because there is a human, the human element of our show is, I don't want to get too sappy here, but there is something, you know, in our world now, we kind of, a lot of people talk about, you know, the focus on what divides us.
Sure.
Right? And what is so wonderful about the experience that we have at our shows is that we have this common ground. And people that are sat at tables together are always exchanging numbers.
100%. We've seen it on Pork Chuck, dude. People have made lifelong friendships from Pork Chuck.
Yes.
And the same thing's happening now, which is really cool to see.
Yeah.
So.
And look at us.
I mean, we're lifelong friends.
We're lifelong friends.
And Jeremy.
Yeah.
So, Jeremy. What? Now what we're doing. So we, a couple podcasts ago, we were talking about Red Vines and Twizzler.
Oh, that's right.
Right. So someone brought us, and I didn't get her name.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Someone brought us a huge bag of Red Vines and Twizzler.
Yeah.
Okay. So we already know I'd love one or the other, and so do you.
Right.
So we're going to give Jeremy.
Is this a blind taste test?
This is going to be blind now. Thank you for saying that. So put your Stone Cold and Jackal hat down, okay?
Yeah, he's representing merch-wise, thanks.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Oh, I can't wait to hear the you already opened them.
Good I opened it, no, but it's still going to crinkle, so.
That's all right.
It's going to crinkle.
It sounds realistic.
And he's going to know which is which, and then we're going to, oh, gosh. Okay, so here is the first sample.
Chew that
and shut your mouth. Okay, let me know when you're done, please.
Chomp, chomp, chomp. This is
great podcasting. So does he have to clear the palate?
I don't think so.
Okay. Right. I don't think so. Because it's all chemicals. It doesn't matter.
So what?
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Okay. So, and here's number two. Thank you. All right. Okay. So now, can you tell which was which?
The first one was the red vine.
Oh, that is unfortunately wrong. Okay, so so which one did you like better?
I think I like the second one better.
Okay, interesting. That was the red vine.
Wow.
Yes.
Wait a second. What, where'd you grow up again?
Tennessee, basically. I mean, Tennessee. I was born in Michigan, but obviously.
Okay. So you didn't have familiarity with either of those?
I think I've had them before. I just
not to the extent where I could say which is which. Well, I
could you?
Oh yeah, dude. Just because the Twizzlers are waxy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Or they have their you could just
Know the texture of it.
And I feel like the flavor is a little richer.
100% wrong.
The red vines have more of like a fluffier candy, like
yeah, because it's candy. Right. Thank you. It's not freaking a wax straw.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Twizzlers
candy. Wax.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
You remember the wax candy they used to have?
Like the wax lips?
Yeah, or the wax freaking bottle with the little liquid in it.
Oh, that was so gross. Like that syrup stuff.
Disgusting.
Oh, so freaking gross.
Anyway.
All right, well, that was...
We've digressed.
That was riveting.
People are subscribing right now because of our taste test.
Yeah, we're a culinary review show.
No, but you need to do a wine review show.
I know, I will. Hold on, let me take a sip of this wine. Tell you how it is. That's freaking good.
So we have four more shows.
Four more shows. We're hitting Vegas tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Like I just the fact that we're playing Vegas is really fun for me.
I know, it's great. We've never been.
I've been to Vegas in so long.
I know, it's great. We're in Vegas and Seattle and then California. We're doing this whole West Coast swing that we never do.
We're playing my new hometown.
Your hometown, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
and then my hometown, too.
That's right.
So it's going to be great, man. We're going to have a great time. And we're going to hit the road more in August and December. So
and October.
And October.
Wow. We got a busy 2018, buddy.
Yeah, I mean... This is a busy. It's like 50, I bet it'll be 40 to 50 shows.
Yeah,
we're going
international.
Oh, we're going to Canada.
We're going to Montreal. We're playing.
Yes.
Yeah, we're
Jeremy's not going, but we're going.
Quebecois.
No.
That's what the people from Quebec.
The Quebecoians?
Well, because I think that's So we're going
to say Canadians.
Canadians,
all right? Okay.
But French-speaking Canadians.
Correct.
Yeah. Do we have to speak French when we go to
Montreal? No, we do not. They speak English up there.
Gosh, I wish
They're
I spoke
so awesome.
A second language.
I speak a little French.
You speak a little Hilljack.
Well, I speak Hilljack all the time. that I can't speak. But I did take French in school, believe it or not.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Say something French.
Oui, oui. Ha, ha. No, see, that's not a saying.
Okay.
Ha, ha. What is that?
It's my Little Mermaid again.
I'll talk French in Canada.
Ooh.
Yes, join us.
Yeah, he speaks French physically.
Silently.
Silently. Yeah.
Jeremy, thank you, brother, for coming on the road with us and for being here.
Well, so. I my favorite. Now let's tell our favorite Jeremy stories.
Oh, really? We're gonna keep going?
I just want to tell my favorite Jeremy story, and then you tell your favorite Jeremy story. My favorite Jeremy story. It was one of the first times I ever went out with Steve. It was me, Steve, Dirk Cheatwood,
Dirk, Max,
and I think Scott Reeves and Andy Gurley, who were. Scott, obviously, you guys know Scott Reeves. And Andy Gurley was our lead guitarist for Port Chuck, who I met before Port Chuck because he and Scott were good friends. And we were at the Long Island Marriott.
Oh, gosh. I knew you were going to say that.
We were at the Long Island Marriott. And I had just met Scott. I had just met Andy. I had just met Jeremy. And there were... Jeremy is such an amenable guy.
Yeah.
And Steve loved to kind of test Jeremy's willingness to just do things.
Yeah, because he's very conservative.
Yes.
Right? So it's like, come on, man, let's go do this. Oh, yeah. Come on, let's do it. Yeah. All right. So we're at this the bar, right?
The bar at the Long Island Marriott.
Yeah.
And it appeared to be, I think it was a wedding reception, was it not?
I believe so, yes.
It was a wedding reception.
Yes.
So, like, not just a bachelorette party, but like a wedding reception. So
yeah.
They were not looking for crazy experiences. They were looking to just be with themselves.
Yeah.
And celebrate the forming of a new family. And we thought it would be a good time to test how willing they were to dance with us. Or more likely,
Jeremy.
Just dance with Jeremy.
So basically, I paid Jeremy. Yes. I offered him money to go just get in the middle of these girls and start dancing because he can't dance at all.
I think he's a good dancer.
Pretty good, but yeah, hey, dude, you want to do it? No. How much? No, 50? No. 100? No. 100. Okay, I'll do it. So we went, because I told McKenna this story, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, 2 days ago. Days ago. And she's like, do you have video? I go, somebody has video.
Somebody does.
Somewhere.
It's in somebody's wedding video. Jeremy.
Or on our phone somewhere.
Random Jason Statham looking guy. Well, and that's the thing. What I love about you, Jeremy, is that you went full bore. You committed to it. You went in and you're like, all right, I'm doing this. And I'm not going to, like, someone would be like, all right, fine, I'll go do it. And then do it, like, do it half-assed. No. Jeremy
did it.
Went in there, committed, danced with the bride who had no idea who the hell you were.
And the bridal party.
And the bridal party. And you're my hero is basically.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Well, this is it. So we talk about going on the road to be here on the road.
Yeah.
Talking to you
after
guys.
After a show, which is cool.
Yeah. So, you know, because after a show, we always kind of, whether we have a drink at the club or just kind of relax at the hotel, it's nice to unwind a little bit.
Yeah, we have to unwind.
And
even with poor Chuck, when we were done,
yeah,
it took an hour or two at least just to unwind.
Yeah.
Right? Same thing with seeing people and meeting people. Yeah. And the show.
Everyone the audience members give us a lot of energy,
yeah.
And so it's nice to be able to unwind and share that with you guys at the same time.
Absolutely.
So
it's great to go somewhere where, and you kind of touched on it earlier about just where there's positive energy,
man.
Right?
It's awesome.
I mean, because there's so much negativity out there, yeah. And I know we say this and it's kind of beating a dead horse because I talk about it on Twitter and Facebook and all this stuff. But I think it really matters.
Yes.
And it matters to me that the positivity
will
rule.
Yes.
And the fact that we all can get in the same room together with 200, 300, 400 people.
Yeah.
And everybody's positive.
Yeah.
And the energy's there and you feel that. And you feel good.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good experience. And that's what I love about doing this is just the positive energy and just keep it positive.
It feeds us, I think.
It does.
I think, some people come out of our show and express to us how great of a time they had. And I'm not sure, and a lot of people say this to us, oh, you're probably tired of smiling.
Oh, dude, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, we take a lot of pictures at these things and people
sure.
are like, and I think they're, they're trying to relate to us in a way to say, hey, thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
And assuming that it's work for us.
Right.
Or that it's we're taking great pains to do
Let me just be clear now. Like I was with Jeremy when I said no.
No.
If I didn't want to do this,
you wouldn't
We wouldn't do this.
Right.
That's right. The bottom line.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
If I didn't like it, we wouldn't do it.
Right.
And you wouldn't do it either.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the great thing is we like doing it.
Yeah.
If I didn't like it, I wouldn't be here.
Well, thank you guys. If it sounds a little bit different, we're working on different equipment. This is our road equipment.
This is the live Marriott equipment.
We don't have our full studio set up here, so it may not have sounded as
crisp and clean.
Crisp and clean as normal,
yeah.
But we're doing our best. So thank you. Thank you, Jeremy, for being our compadre throughout all
sure.
this.
Thank you guys.
And yeah, and thank you all for coming to visit us on the road.
Yeah.
And listening to hear, it's fun. We've been doing this podcast for a few months now, and people are, when we see people in person and they share.
People love the podcast.
I hope they still do.
No, I know. After tonight, I hope they love it.
Hey, it's my debut. You guys better love
Jeremy's debut.
And no downloads.
Jeremy's debut. Crickets. One download. His mom.
Come on, guys.
No. But, all right, guys. Thanks. We always appreciate your support. We thank you so much. And
we're going to bed now, I think. We're going to bed.
Stone Cold and the Jackal.
Going to bed.
No, .com.
.com.
Okay. Thank you. Good night.